Well, our God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Amen. He's great, and he is greatly to be praised. And I was thinking about if we had a song, if we had a theme song as Christians, as the people of God, what the refrain might be. And that's what I've titled tonight's message, the refrain of God's people. And what a blessing it is to come into a room full of people who are joyful and who are eager to give praise to the Lord. Amen? It's a joy to be part of the church and to hear thankfulness expressed to God and expressed to each other. And that's how it should always be. Amen? God help us. That's how it should always be. We're encouraged. We're exhorted to do that in the Word of God. And I thought of Paul's words that we quote often on Thanksgiving Eve service, but his words to the church in Colossians chapter 3, he said this. He said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." Our thoughts and our prayers, our actions, everything that we do, everything that we say and pray and think and even sing should be dripping with thanks. Thanks to our God, who reigns forever and ever. And we sang some great songs this evening. We sang a great song on Sunday morning. And as I was singing it, I was already kind of mulling this refrain. And it was the song, "Give Thanks to the Lord, Our God and King." And what's the refrain? "His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things, for his love endures forever." And I got to thinking, for how many years have God's people been singing that song? And I didn't know, but I wrote that down. It's like, how long have God's people, even before the church, been singing that song? And I looked it up because I didn't know, and it was like over 3,000 years, the people of God have been singing that refrain. Thanks be to God, right? His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to him, for he is good. And the first time that we ever run into that is written by David, and it's in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. And the scripture verses that we're going to just look at are part of a huge song of praise and thanks that comes from David's lips, comes from David's pen. And we're really just going to focus on that verse. It's 1 Chronicles 16, 34. But it's, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Forever. And we see that verse. We see that refrain. And it's peppered all over the Old Testament. It's in some of the historical books. It's certainly throughout the Psalms. It's even in the prophet Jeremiah, this refrain. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And for the next few minutes, I just want to focus on the words of that refrain. And I want to ask us a question. It's a question that Elder Jeff Sutherland stood up here and he asked us a couple of Sundays back. But he asked us, "Why are you here? Why are you here?" And Jimmy asked us, actually last Sunday morning, he repeated that question. And I would ask us again this evening. We're here on a Thanksgiving Eve. Some of y'all got lots of stuff to do for tomorrow. Some of you've got a busy end of the week and you've got all kinds of things to do, but you're here, we're here, you're online, you're gathered here with the church of God. Why? Why give thanks to him? Why did David write those words? Why did the people of Israel take that and say, "You know what, we're going to use that again, we're going to use that again"? And why do we still sing that this morning? Why are we here giving thanks to the Lord this evening? And though they never knew each other, David and Paul would have been on the same page as far as giving thanks to the Lord. Both of them wanted it to be continual. It was to be continual, always, all the time, no matter the circumstance. They called for thankfulness to the Lord. And that song of praise and thanks in Chronicles 16, it begins this way. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. But our verse comes at the end of that song, verse 34. And it really brings it all together. And it really, David's life was characterized by his attitude, his heart attitude, and his love for the Lord God. And it was infectious. As I was reading over some of the accounts of his life, it was infectious. His love for God was so infectious and contagious to me. But we saw it when he faced Goliath the giant. That's one of the best stories as far as that goes. And the armies of Israel were faced with the armies of the Philistines, and there was this giant Goliath who would come, and he would taunt them, and he would taunt their God, and he would say all kinds of other things. And when David heard it, what did he say? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt us, that he should taunt our God? And his love for the Lord burned inside him to do something about that. When David was running from King Saul, we see his love for God and his attitude of worship toward the Lord when he wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. He had every opportunity or multiple opportunities to take advantage of Saul and to put him to harm. But Saul was God's anointed, and David wouldn't do that. And so David, one of the first things that he desires to do when he actually becomes king, and this is in Chronicles, the lead up to this song is, he has just become king, and he's still kind of a young king. He's defeated the Philistines. Saul has passed away. And the one thing that he wants to do, he has in mind to do, is to bring the Ark of the Covenant of God to the city of Zion. He says, we haven't thought about the Ark. In the days of Saul, we hadn't thought about God's presence. And you remember what the Ark is. We talked about it when we were going through Joshua. But it was the very container that held the words of God. It held the Mosaic Law. On the top of it was the mercy seat where God would meet with his people. And the Ark had been lost to the Philistines, and it had been kind of put aside. And for 20-some years, it had been in somebody's house. And David becomes king, and his love for the Lord compels him and burns him. And he says, you know what? Let's go get the Ark. Let's go get the Ark of the Lord. And so he makes a tent for the Ark. And when at last, in chapter 15 of this book, we see the Ark carried to the city of Zion, we see this great celebration and this great kind of a parade of worship to the Lord. And David is in his best clothes, and the priests, the Levites, are in their best clothes, and they're carrying the Ark of God to the tent that he has made, and they're sacrificing, and they're singing praises, and there are instruments, there are horns and cymbals and harps and lyres, and they're shouting and they're singing. And if you remember, David is worshiping the Lord like a madman in front of all this. He can't wait for God's Ark, the presence of the Lord, to be with him there in Zion. But he doesn't want it to end once the Ark is in place. That was a great thing, but he doesn't want it to end. And they put the Ark in place. And then we read David's instructions in chapter 16, verse 4. It says this. It says, he appointed some of the Levites to be as ministers before the Ark of the Lord. And he wanted them to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He appoints Levites to do three things: to invoke, and a lot of your Bibles will say to celebrate, okay? To invoke, and actually the word translated all over the Old Testament is remember. He wanted them to get in front of the Ark of God and to be there regularly, and he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember. To remember God and all he had done, to remember God and who he was. And then the next step is he wanted them to give thanks. He wanted them to invoke, he wanted them to remember, and then he wanted them to give thanks. And then he wanted them to praise the Lord. And he wanted this to be done regularly, continually. If you look down in verse 7, he says, then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. This was to be a regular occurrence in front of the Ark of God, in front of the covenant. And those three things are the things that we've been doing this evening, haven't we? We've remembered. And it's good for us to remember, isn't it? Isn't that therapeutic? It's more than therapeutic. It lifts our souls. It causes us to worship God. When I hear my brothers and sisters praise the Lord for salvation and for his provision and all of those things, even overseas, and all of the things that he is doing around the world, That lifts us up. It lifts us out of the fear and the circumstances that the culture is so caught up in. And so we remember, and then we give thanks. And then we sing praise, just as we did. We did those three things, and we need to continue to do those three things. But the words of 1 Chronicles 34, that refrain of ours, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I just want to point three things out that we see in that refrain. First of all, we give thanks to the Lord, and it gives us the reason. Why? Why do we give thanks to him? Because he's good. That's first. We give thanks to him because he is good, and that means he's excellent. He's favorable, he's agreeable, he's pleasant, he's right, he's kind, he's pure. Is that altogether different than most of the things that we know and experience today? Our God is good. He is good. And it's not that we don't thank him for what he does. We do thank him for what he does, and David thanked him for what he did. But we need to thank him first place for who he is. And so first we thank him for his person. We thank him for his person. We thank him for his goodness. And it's actually a really good place for us to start. Why? Because it takes us completely out of the picture, doesn't it? Doesn't it take us completely out of the way? For us just to focus on him and who he is. Not what he's done for me, and not what he's done or what I hope him to do. And that keeps us, it can keep us from getting our eyes fixed on ourselves. It keeps us from treating the Lord God of the universe like he's a cosmic grandfather or Santa Claus who thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, for that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to thank him, first of all, for who he is, not just for what he does. And that's where David starts. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. And so it's good for us to start there for that reason. And hand in hand with that, our thanksgiving should begin with the goodness of God, because God's character never changes, listen, but our circumstances do, don't they? We don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what the next phone call is. Our circumstances change. God's character never does. Ever. And he is good, and there is no shadow of turning with him, and that is never going to change. This country will change. This world will change. Our health will change. Our circumstances will change. God's goodness will never change. It will never, ever change. And so sometimes, here's the little secret. Sometimes we don't feel like giving thanks at all. Sometimes we don't feel thankful. I've thought about a number of you this week and even more of you than today who are sitting in this room, some of you and some of you are online, and I've spoken to you, and there are people that are in this church, in this congregation, that are going through unimaginable pain. Lots of which a lot of us don't even know about. But that feeling doesn't govern us. God's character governs us. And so when we fix our eyes on him, when we fix our eyes on his goodness, his character, that never changes. That never changes. And so it takes us out of the picture. We don't need our feelings to go off of. Hear me. And I speak as someone who I struggle with that. Pastor Les will tell you. Sometimes I go in his office and he's got to like pick me up off the floor a little bit. But it doesn't depend on our emotions. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. It depends on God's goodness. It depends on his goodness. And so we give thanks to him beginning there, beginning with his goodness. We give thanks to him for that, for he is good, for he is good. Secondly, we give thanks to him because his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. And so then we move from his person, his goodness, to his provision, his person to his provision. His love endures forever. And these things, and by the way, his love is part of his character too, isn't it? God is love, the scriptures tell us. And this is his character expressed. Aren't you thankful that he expresses himself to us? He expresses himself, as we've said, in song. He expresses himself through his Spirit and his word. He expresses himself through us, right? Doesn't he use us in each other's lives to quote scripture and to sing to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and to express his love? He expresses his love in his truth. He expresses his love in the things that he provides for us. Sister Sutherland, pastor's wife Linda, she quoted the verse. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good gift. And hear me, whether you know the Lord or not, whether you are a recipient of his salvation or not, he has blessed you with good things. He makes his sun to rise on the good and on the evil, on the just and on the unjust. Even if you're not his child, you are experiencing the goodness of God, even at this very moment. You are. And for us, for his children, he has also given us his salvation, and that is his greatest provision. The people of Israel, when David was talking to them, they could look back over their history and certainly think of the things that he mentions, and I won't read that whole song, but I encourage you to go home and read it. But he talks about the covenants. He talks about the fact that the Lord was with them. And we know, as we've been in the Old Testament for so long, and it's wonderful. I love that. And we've seen how God provided for his people, how he gave them their very physical needs, right? He gave them bread from heaven, he gave them water from stone, he gave them shoes that didn't wear out and the clothing on their backs. And if we have any of those things, food, water, shelter, clothing, we are receiving his good gifts. We are receiving his good gifts. But the greatest provision, the greatest gift is, of course, salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. We can praise him because his goodness, his ultimate goodness, his steadfast love is expressed in the person and work of Jesus on the cross. You see, Jesus came, and we know this. Hopefully we know this, but if you don't know this, Jesus came as God himself, God in the flesh. And he lived a perfect life, a sinless life. And God crushed him. I was listening to a song today that talked about that. God crushed him so that we could be set free from our sins. So that we could be forgiven. And that's not just the end of it. That's the beginning of a relationship so that we could know God. It's not just about this one little transaction, and then that's the end. We check the box and walk away. It's that we get to enter. We are in a relationship with God Almighty. We're part of his family. We are co-heirs with Christ. He is our brother, and God is our Father through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is this expression, this ultimate expression of God's goodness and God's steadfast love. His steadfast love. Now, don't be fooled. Listen. David wasn't just talking about the goodness of God, I like to say, on Sunny Tuesday. Okay? And I'll direct you to Psalm 25, and we don't need to read that, but if you want to know that God, that he was dependent and calling the Lord good no matter what was going on in his life, you can read Psalm 25. But there, one of the things that he mentions is, my transgressions are over my head. My iniquity is beyond me. He says, bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble. David knew that God was the only one that could save him from his sins. Even David knew that. And we know through Jesus that we can be forgiven for our sins and that we don't have to face the things that Randy was talking about, the things that the culture are scared of, the fear that is out there of death. And the whole world's afraid of death right now. That's what they're afraid of ultimately. But we don't have to be afraid if we know him, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is our Savior. If that's not you, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, call upon his name. Call upon his name for salvation. Don't let one more day or minute go by without calling upon his name and experiencing the provision of his steadfast love, his steadfast love. Now, we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks for his person. We give thanks to the Lord because of all the things that he's provided. We give thanks for his provision. And the last thing that I just want to point out of this verse is that we can give thanks for his presence. And that's not in the verse. It's not in the verse. But It's a very interesting thing that this verse, this refrain, it first appeared when David brought the Ark of the Covenant and he put it in the tent that he had made him. And he wanted that that song. He wrote that song for the Levites to sing to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And God's presence on earth was going to rest right there. And David had it in mind, and we know this later, that David had it in mind that he wanted to build a temple for the Lord. You remember that? He wanted to build a house for God. And God gave that honor to his son, Solomon. And so Solomon built Solomon's temple, the massive temple. And we read about over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But guess what? When that happened and the temple was complete and the priests were there and the glory of the Lord filled that temple such that the priests couldn't even minister in there, guess what they sang? They sang this song. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:3, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good and for his steadfast love endures forever." And that temple ran into trouble, right? And the people were removed from the land, and they were ripped out of the land, and they were taken into captivity. You remember? And they came back with Ezra and Nehemiah, and they came back, and they went to lay the foundation for the temple again. And you know what they sang? You know what they said when they laid that temple foundation? In Ezra chapter 3:11, it says this. It says that when the builders lay the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they sang, praising God and giving thanks, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. When Jeremiah was in exile and during the Babylonian captivity, and God was promising him that one day all of these streets that are empty and the joy has gone out of them, he said, one of these days, my presence is going to be there again. And he mentions that same quote in Jeremiah 33, the steadfast love of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And I bring that up because, first of all, it's a pattern. But God is in us. If we're his children, his presence is with us. If we're in him, he's in us. He has sealed us by his Holy Spirit. And we can give thanks looking at who he is, and we should, for his goodness and for all of his other attributes. And we need to give thanks. We should give thanks for his blessings, the things that he has provided for us, not the least of which, the most of which is Jesus Christ. For salvation. And we need to give thanks for his presence in us. And some of us may look at our lives, especially during the holidays, and in our society, there's lots of anxiety and depression and these kinds of things. And this can be a hard time of the year. Like tomorrow usually kind of maybe starts for some people the hardest time of the year. And we can look back over our lives and maybe some of us are filled with kind of pain and regret over the things that we've done. Listen, please hear me, if that's you this evening. We can be thankful for God's goodness. We can be thankful for the provision of his son. We can be thankful for his presence in our lives if you're a Christian. And we can be thankful that we can do things differently, right? We can do things, we can give praise and honor and glory to him now. We can go out of here and we can have an influence through his Holy Spirit and his word inside of us. We can have an influence on the world around us. We can tell others about his love. We can share the gospel with other people. We can see souls saved, Lord willing, and lives changed and people healed. And so we can give thanks for God's presence with us. And when we do, we can sing that refrain. Right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Will you pray with me? Lord, I do want to bow and I do want to give you thanks. We're thankful to be able to look through the pages of history and to see your perfect record. You are faithful. You've never failed. You never will. We're so thankful. Thankful for your goodness. Thankful that underneath all of everything that's going on, Lord, you are in control and you are good. We praise you for that. We're thankful, Lord, for the simplest of things. Lord, we're all here in this room, so the endless things that made that happen, Lord, we're thankful for all of them. We're thankful for family. We're thankful for your church. But we're thankful for Jesus above all. Thankful, Lord, that you're even mindful of us. Not only that, but you sent your son to die for us, that we might live with you. And we're thankful for the hope and the help of your presence in our lives, Lord, that as we go out of here, we go with you, Almighty God, inside of us, with nothing to fear and nothing to be anxious about. And so, Lord, help us to go out in that spirit of thankfulness, Lord. And we don't want to just be thankful tomorrow or this week or through this holiday season, Lord. May it be like Paul admonished us and encouraged us, Lord. May it be all through us all the time, in our actions, in our words, in everything that we say and do. May we give thanks to you because you're good and your steadfast love endures forever. We thank you, Lord. Amen.